MoneyWeb now on The Money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Chatting now with Keith McLachlan. You find him, of course, Element Investment Managers. Keith, appreciate the early morning. It was just last week you were writing your article, your fortnightly article on MoneyWeb. You're talking, Mr. Price, you were talking the free cash flow to EV yield. And I went and dug around. And I got to say, I'd never heard of it before. I really liked the concept. I want to dig into it, but let's start with the simple stuff. Free cash flow, enterprise value. Free cash flow is literally what it says in the sticker. The money that comes in less the expenses, essentially what the company has left over. It might not be dividends, but it's going to be used to grow and benefit shareholders in the short term.
Good morning, Simon, and I'm glad you read my article. But absolutely, a good way of looking at this and just standing back, we're trying to assess a company in terms of profits, but accounting profits have a lot of increasing the airy-fairy assumptions in it. So we're trying to get a sense of what true profits are. And true profits are probably found in the cash flow statement, where it's the cash flow from operations, less expenses, and less the capex needed to maintain and or grow the business. And that's really what free cash flow is. It's the true cash profits of a business that management can go and apply to either acquisitions, yep, pay off debt, pay out dividends, buy back shares, but they don't have to put it back into the operations of the business. It's really free cash flow.
Yeah, it's that. It says it in the sticker, I suppose. Enterprise value, this is market cap plus debt, less cash. In other words, if I were to buy a company, I'd have to pay the market cap. I'd have to pay off the debt, in essence. I mean, I could manage, you know, get some T's and C's, but in essence, pay off the debt. So those are my two costs. And then, of course, the cash on the balance sheet is mine. It is it's kind of like a true valuation or value of what a company is. It is the what are you going to shell out if you were to buy it in its entirety?
Certainly. So people would have seen acquisitions done on a cash-free, debt-free basis. Mm-hmm. That's really what it is how much does it cost to buy the whole business, and we neutralize it for cash, mm-hmm, and we neutralize it for debt. Perhaps another way of looking at it, and very relevant for this free cash flow to EV ratio, is that the enterprise value of a business is really the cost of the funders. On the one hand, it's the shareholders funding equity, but on the other hand, it's the debt, the creditors funding the debt side of the business. And therefore, these funds are being applied to generate those cash flows. And we're making it agnostic as to the gearing structure.
Yeah, I like that. It's an agnostic part. And then what this essentially does is you've got that free cash flow to enterprise value. You present it as a yield, as you could a dividend yield or any other sort of yield. It literally says that this is what your business, your company, your investment is returning. And in the case of Mr. Price, it was quite a staggering number. You compare it to, I suppose, the South African tenure, which is your risk-free, and then suddenly you get a good sense of where value lies.
Well, certainly. I mean, on the one hand, the free cash flow side that we've unpacked is let's call it a true cash profit. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, the EV side allows us to make this ratio comparable across companies and businesses with different gearing ratios, different amounts of debt or net cash in the balance sheet. We've neutralized for that. And then more subtly, the free cash flow to EV ratio arrives at an interest rate. And conceptually, if you look at that, if this business never changed its cash flows, you know, its profits were flat going into the future, yep, for perpetuity, that's almost like the interest rate you'd earn on your capital at this current market price. And that more subtly makes it comparable across asset classes that earn yields. You know, is equity expensive or cheap? Well, that's actually a relative discussion. And this allows us to compare it to, for example, bonds. We could hold Mr. Price for 10 years, or we could hold a 10-year bond.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that, and you're holding that 10-year bond to maturity, well, you've got a certain series of cash flows, and then you've gotten your capital back, hopefully.
Yeah.
In Mr. Price's case, you have a certain series of cash flows. They're less certain. But in 10 years' time, you probably still own Mr. Price, and it's probably still there. So it doesn't necessarily end after 10 years, but it makes it more comparable. It allows us to consider valuations in the context of sovereign risk,
mm-hmm.
in the context of multi-assets and different interest rates. And that's very, very useful.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that. And of course, over the 10 years, we expect that all things equal, whereas your bonds have flatlined, because that's what it is. Your Mr. Price hopefully has increased its free cash flow and is even more attractive. We'll leave it there. Keith McLachlan, Element Investment Managers. Appreciate the early morning. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.